thankful to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I love being in church. I love what the Lord does here. It really has changed my life. I thank God for the Black Creek Baptist Church that has stayed open. The Lord knew that one day I would be in here, and He knew one day that I would get saved. Listen to the preaching here. I'm thankful for that. And, we're going to go ahead and wait for everybody to get there. Judges 5, and I'm going to start in verse 2. Judges 5, verse 2. It says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." How many times have we prayed to God and have asked Him to avenge us from the devil, ourselves, or other people that have caused us wrong or done us wrong? How many times have we sat there and said, "Lord, this person has done me wrong and I need you to do something about it"? We want God to be our genie and snap our finger and expect Him just to answer our prayer immediately. We want Him just to go, "God, okay, this person is messing with me, so I need you to come down here. Jump down there and just go ahead and answer our prayer and take care of business." If that is your attitude towards God, then you are sadly mistaken. We read in Judges 5, verse 2, that God avenged them when Israel was willing to offer themselves to God. God did not move in their life until they became willing to offer themselves to God. Read what it says right there. It says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel." So we see that He did avenge him. But when? When the people willingly offered themselves. I'm just going to tell you right now, God is not going to step in your life if you are not going to willingly offer yourself. He is not going to step in your life. He's not going to avenge you. He's not going to guide you. He's not going to lead you. He's going to leave you out there to yourself. And guess what? You're going to sit there and say, "Why aren't you helping me, Lord?" He's going to say, "Why aren't you doing what I asked you to do?" There are things God has asked us to do as a Christian. He's not just some magic genie over there where we just rub anytime we think that we need Him. There are times when God needs us. And are we willing to offer ourselves for that? There's times, just the other day, the Lord showed me some stuff. I sit there and I said, "How does Pastor do what he does? He just go ahead and he gives out money when he has to. He goes and gives his time and he does." I said, "How does he just do that when I know for a fact these people are using him?" You know, I got the street smarts and I'm telling myself, these people are just using what he's doing. How can he do that? Colossians 3:23. So the Lord showed me. "Do all things heartily as unto the Lord and not as man." He told me one day, he said, "Dale," he goes, "it doesn't matter what they do. You know why?" He goes, "I gave it to the Lord and then gave it to them." And it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's it. That's the answer. That is 100% it. You're right, Lord. That's what I need to do. I need to stop standing up here or stop going out there and working with people. And I need to stop saying to myself, "Well, I know they're just using me. Well, I know they just want this." God didn't ask me. He didn't ask me that. He didn't put a stipulation on me helping somebody. "Get away from your street smarts, Dale, and go out there and do it unto me." And I said, "My goodness, after all this time, I finally understand why a pastor does the things he does." And it just opened my eyes to a whole new way. Because I've really been praying to God, "Please bring me some people to work with. Please bring some people in my life." And He's opened that door. But not until I'm ready. Not until I'm ready to relive Colossians 3:23. I want to turn there real quick. I really want to read that whole rest of the verse. Colossians 3. If I can get there real quick. Colossians 3:23. And I'm going to go right to the end. And say, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men." I was doing it for me. I was doing it I got to go out there and do this, and I got to go out there and do that. God didn't say for me to get in the way. I wonder why people can't see Jesus, Chris. You know why I can't see Jesus? Because I'm too busy being in the way. If I'm doing it for Him, then that's who they're going to see. But right now, people, you know, when I've been working with people, they've seen me. They haven't seen. So we're going to go to verse 24. It says, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus." You serve the Lord Christ. I'm not there trying to serve myself. and go out there and use the things that I used to use on the streets to go out there and work with the people. And it says that you're not serving yourself anymore. You're serving the Lord Christ. You're serving Jesus. You're not doing this for you, Dale. When am I going to finally wake up and open my eyes and realize, Dale, this is not for you. This is for Him. He didn't save me for myself. He saved me so that I could have eternity, but He didn't save me and call me to the ministry to go out there and serve myself. He called me into the ministry to go out there and do it for Him. That's what verse 24 says. And then 25 says this, "But he that doeth wrong," guilty, "but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons." They went that bubble on my head again. There went that ego. There went all that pride and that puffiness, like I was something to God. Like He just needed me for the ministry to go on. No! He is not a respecter of any persons. John Ashworth, he knows the Bible. He loves the Lord. He serves Him. I mean, he's a man of God, second to none. But you know what? God is not a respecter of him as a person. Just not. That's what the Bible says. And when I go out there and I start serving for my own good, start serving with my own wits and my own wisdom, guess what? I'm not doing it right. I'm doing it wrong. And therefore, I ask God to avenge me. How dare I ask Him to go ahead and help? Lord, I need You to avenge me because I know this person is using me for the money that I gave him. He did not ask me to do that. Dedicate it unto the Lord. Dedicate it unto the Lord, and then He'll take care of the rest. But we get into this whole thing that we need the Lord just to rub that bottle and just, oh, you're going to come down and you're going to take care of me now. That's not what it said. Again, I'm going to read Judges 5:2. It says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel." When? God did not move until that when came. When they willingly offered themselves. When they willingly offered themselves. How many times, how many church services, how many times you're going to sit under preaching and listen to what the men of God are saying and you know, want things changed in your life, but you're not willing to offer yourself? How much more? Pastor asked a question last week. Why? I forgot how he said it exactly. But
what makes you different?
Yes. What makes you different that you don't have to do what this Bible says? What makes you different? What sets you apart from everybody else? There are things that God has called us to. Being separate, being holy, being salt. There's so many things that He's called us out there to be a witness unto Him. He's called us out there to love the brethren. Did you ever read 1 John where He says you love your brother? There's no stipulation there. You are to love your brother unconditionally. If you do not love your brethren, guess what it says you are? You're a lost person. You're in death. You're still in dark. You have not been saved yet. You missed the mark. It's impossible for, you know why it's impossible for a child of God to hate his other brother and sister? Because that's a child of God. And if you have Jesus Christ sitting in you, you have Jesus, you can have troubles with each other. We can have arguments and this and that. You know, there's things that went on. There's fights I've had in this church, but I never once hated a person in this church. Just never had. And that was even before salvation. But you, whoever is saved in this room today, you're God's. And how dare I cross a line on one of God's children? That's doing wrong. He's going to judge me for that. He's going to look down on me and say, Dale, you want me to help you out in the ministry? You want me to do this? But yet you have this against your brother here, or your sister here, or this person here. How is he going to avenge you? He's not going to come and avenge me with my filthiness. If you read back through the past few chapters here, we see that Israel is going through some very hard times. But God did not step in and help them until He knew that they truly were willing to give themselves over to Him. Why they were in so much trouble? Judges 4. Go to Judges 4. Judges 4. We're going to start right in verse 1. 1 and 2. Judges 4. 1 and 2 tells us, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord." You see that? Now we're going backwards here. Now this is before God was willing to avenge them. We're going to see what brought on why they needed to be avenged. Because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They fell off the bandwagon. They went out there and complained. Well, I got to do this for this person. I got to give money for this. That's me. Again, I'm doing evil in the sight of the Lord when I'm out there and I'm asking God to avenge me, yet I'm complaining about what He's doing. And then I go out there and make my life an absolute mess. A mess. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. When Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan. They wanted their ways, and God gave it to them. They didn't want to serve the Lord anymore. They wanted to serve and do what they wanted to do. And the Lord said, okay, here you go. Go ahead and have that. What did it say he did? The Lord, he sold them. He gave them over to those people. He turned them over to their self. He turned them over to their own desires. He took them from, it says they've done evil again. So the Lord's looking down and said, okay, this is what you choose, and I'll go ahead and give it to you. Listen, when you have things going on in your life and you're wondering why it's there, it's because that's what you wanted and God gave it to you. That's what the Bible says. What it teaches. So what it teaches. They wanted their ways. God gave it over to them. They had so much trouble because they wanted to do what was right in their heart and not what God wanted. As we see God do in Romans 1, 21 through 25, it says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creepy things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. We just seen that happen in Israel. God sold them. He gave them over to their own hearts. That's what you want here. When you have things in your life and you're going, how did I get here? It's because God said, that's what you want. It's what's in your heart. You've turned from me and you're going ahead, going out and you're doing evil again, but yet you're on your face and you're trying to ask me to please avenge you. Why do I need to avenge you? We need to repent when we get in that kind of attitude. God will not avenge us or our families when we have this attitude. When we have the attitude that it's okay, we can go out there and serve ourselves, call ourselves a Christian, and think everything's fine. It's not. It is not. Who changed? Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. NIV, ASVB, a New King James Bible. Did you know that they have one out that came out in 2012? I just found this out. It's called the Queen James Version, and it's for gays and lesbians. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And they took everything out that had anything to do with sodomy and all that stuff. They took it out. They named it the Queen James Bible. Go ahead and look it up. And it came out in October or November 2012. That's where we're at today. In America, we have Baptists, please avenge us. He's saying, why would I want to avenge somebody like you? We're all caught up in our own selves, in our own will, in our own hearts, and we expect God to come down here and avenge us. We got this whole thing trapped up in this garbage with this Romans roads and this easy believism and pray this and do that. God ain't going to touch us with a 10-foot pole. Because we're out there doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it. Listen, the Bible says in Colossians 3:23 to do it for him, not ourselves. Guess what man is doing for their self? Prestige, power, notch in your belt, how many people you can get saved and how many people you can get claimed to salvation. That's what they're all hyped up on. I can imagine calling, I want to go come to your tent meeting. How many people you got saved? How many people did you lead to the Lord last year? 1,500. Oh yeah, come on, we can preach at ours. Then they're preaching to each other. People forget now to bring people to the special meetings. People forget to bring somebody to a tent meeting. It's for the lost people. Why aren't we bringing them? We're just preaching to each other. We expect God to step in and avenge us because we're just holier than thou. We're just mighty, mighty Christians. I think not. They change it into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. These people they know of God, or at one time they knew God, because it says in the very first verse, because that when they knew God. So at some point in time they heard God's name. They knew of him, but yet they chose to go out there and do this. So God said, well, here you go. Go ahead. This is what you want. I'm going to give it to you. You just tell me right now that's not a picture of America today. You can't sit here and deny that Romans 1, that this is not the judgment of God on us in America today. If you cannot see that, then I don't know what it's going to take to open your eyes. America has been turned over to itself. And the Baptists are sitting there and we're losing the battle. And we, you know what? Go out there and tell somebody you're a Baptist. They'll look at you like you got 10 heads on top of your shoulders. That's a sickening name that would come that are in people's ears anymore. That's what we've become. God forbid if I ever get myself caught up in that garbage. If I can't stand on a King James Bible and stand on what God gives me, then I want no part of it. You know why? Because all it'll do is destroy every life sitting in this room.
Just telling you.
Without God in my life, without this Bible in my life directing me and guiding me, I will destroy your life just as quick as anybody else. I'm just telling you that right now. God forbid. But that's where America's at. That's where the Baptist churches are at today. They're okay with it. They're fine. Go look at them. Doesn't bother them what they're doing. Oh, God, avenge us. Really? He's not going to avenge us. God did not step in until the people were broken. They were sin sick. They came to him with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. People, I've said this before, they always come up to the altar, Dick. They come up with a broken heart, but they don't have a contrite heart anymore. Therefore, they can't get saved. I come up here and just be broken. Oh, yes, I've done all this wrong, but where's the contrite heart? Where's that one that God has to get in there, reach deep in there, and pull that garbage out and show you, and you come to that place where you have a broken spirit, a broken heart, and a contrite heart? Doesn't happen anymore in America. I can call any one of you up here right now, and within the next 20 minutes, I can convince you to say a prayer, to tell me you're saved, and you'll walk out these doors never to step foot in again. I can do that. And that's what these... I don't even know what to call them anymore. They call themselves a preacher, a King James Bible believer. I just have a hard time thinking that. I have a hard time seeing that. Show me once where God forced himself or a prayer on anybody in this Bible. You show me. These people had to be dealt with by the law. Jesus Christ done it. Paul's done it. Many other ones have done it. They came out of that law. And why? Because the law is a schoolmaster to bring us from the law unto Jesus Christ. But yet, we have everything. Everybody's going to everything else except for what they laid out for us. You want to know something that was laid out in the Bible for us? To use and show these people why they're sinners against God. Do you know that people that have no clue that they have a sin nature? They have no. They think that because they're going to hell because of their sins. S-I-N-S. That's wrong. You're going to hell because of your sin nature. It brought separation between you and God. That needs to be fixed. And then you will stop sinning. Not completely. There's nobody on this earth that'll ever be sinless. Or sinless, but you can sin less. That's the fact. They don't have no clue. Go ask somebody last night somewhere. Find somebody somewhere who claims salvation and ask them, oh, why did you need to be saved? They have no clue. None. They don't understand it a bit. Why? They're not broken. They're not sin sick. They didn't come to him with a broken spirit, a broken and contrary heart. In Judges 4:3, we see it took 20 years. 20 years of God's oppression to bring them to this point. And it says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 20 years he mightily oppressed. Could you imagine feeling the mighty hand of oppression of God? 20 years. He sold them. He gave them over to their heart. He gave them over to their desire. And he oppressed them for 20 years with 900 iron chariots. Could you imagine? But yet we have to rush in and try to tell somebody they need to get saved right now. Hurry, pray this prayer. Hurry, hurry, hurry. If God oppressed somebody for 20 years, God knows what it takes to bring somebody to a breaking point. God knows what it takes for somebody to get saved. We believe God is all powerful and he's almighty. He knows everything. He knows the beginning to the end. If he knows all that, then why are we forcing stuff down people? Why are we trying to get a number? I don't care if I'm in the ministry and nobody ever gets saved out of my ministry. I don't care. I do care. I want them to get saved. But if they don't, I'm not after numbers. I'm after the same thing that every man of God should be after. That's changed lives. Somebody have Jesus Christ fully formed into their life to really have repentance and salvation. That's what I'm after. If you sat underneath preaching for 20 years and then you finally got saved, then that's what it took. Who am I to step in and tell you anything less? If the Holy Ghost can't convict your heart and break your heart, then what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm a man. Well, I'm on equal playing field with you guys. I'm a human. I'm in the flesh. It's going to take somebody above and beyond me to do anything. You know who saved me? It was not Pastor John Asquith. It was not Willis Shankles. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. I became a broken man. A broken man. And you know what? It took 4 years of preaching, sitting underneath good Bible preaching for me to become come to repentance and salvation. That people think you're crazy when you tell them that. But that's what it took for God to get in there and give me a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That's what it took. He had to dig so deep in there and just show me everything, every filth, vile, disgusting thing. And when I became to the end of that, I said, oh my goodness. I understood for the first time in my life why I had separation between me and God. I understood that. I really, honestly understood that. And I got saved instantly. Bang, it was over. I didn't have to pay for salvation. Didn't have to work for salvation. I still don't have to work for my salvation. He gave it to me free. It was a free gift. But he needed me to see what I needed to see before I got saved. What's so wrong with that? Stand there and read. Go ahead and read behind Jesus. Read behind Paul. They stood there and dealt with people's sins before anything even happened to them. Why are we any different? Morning, Ma. Man and his ways never bring a person to the point. Only by the power of the Holy Ghost. It is at this point that they become willing to offer themselves. Today, people rush people into something that God is not yet ready for, and people are missing the power of the Holy Ghost and missing salvation. Man needs to back off. God knows what and when it will take and how long for a person before they can become to the point of repentance. Man needs to step back and let God step in. Man needs to see that by stepping in, God has stepped out and oppression has fallen on Christians because they are pushing their ways on people and people are not getting saved. The church is under the mighty hand of God. It's under oppression because people, the silliness, the craziness, the things that the Baptist people are claiming, God has said, you know what? You want to be in the way? I'm going to step out of the way. And wonder why the Baptist churches are under the oppression that it is. Look at you. You guys are smart enough. You've been sitting underneath Pastor John long enough to see the garbage that goes on in these other churches. Why do you think we're here? We have the oppression of God. God has turned us over to our hearts, just like he did Israel. God has oppressed. He oppressed Israel for 20 years. We're in oppression right now. Hey, I'm just telling you, just think the Bible has nothing in it that has nothing to do with it. You're crazy. God shows us where we are and shows us where our walk is and shows us where we need to be and how to do things, yet we don't want to listen to it. He's given us warnings. God avenged Israel when Israel turned back to God and did what Matthew 6, 33 and 34 says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the days, the evil thereof. Notice God did not say on his time and his way, and that did not include man's works. Oh, excuse me. It is on God's time and on God's way, and it never included man being in the way. It never included man's works. Do you know God can function just fine without me being behind this pulpit? Do you know God can still do what he's going to have to do just fine without Pastor John around? See, men get this whole big old idea that we're really needed. That God really needs us in this ministry to get things going. He'd love to use us. But that bubble, that pride's got to be pops. That, you know, God gives you knowledge. You know what knowledge does? Puffs you up. I'm telling you right now. Puffy? I always feel like my head's got to get busted. Because God has always got to take that puffiness and let that air out of my head. I don't share everything that I've learned with you guys. But I'm just telling you now, that Bible has been opened up to me second to none. I got sticky notes and folders and pads full of stuff the Lord has shown me. But he's got to keep me in check. You know, he trusts Pastor John with his knowledge. You understand that? If you think that man sits there with all that knowledge in his head and at one point in time in his life he didn't get puffed, you go ahead and ask him what happened. He'll tell you. But now God trusts him with that knowledge. And guess what that knowledge gets? It's for us. It's for our good. What a blessing. I enjoy sitting underneath his preacher. There's times I'll come in here and I just talk to him just to get some wisdom. I tell you, I'm always texting and calling. But why? Because he's my pastor. He knows things. He's been studying the Bible for just about as long as I've been alive. He knows it. God gave that to him. And I thank God for it. We see Matthew 6, 33 and 34. We need to seek God first. That's when God finally stepped in, is when Israel turned back to God. He said, okay, when you became willing to offer yourself. Now God is going to do some things. Now, I'm going to try to finish a little bit here. I read that God knows our hearts. He knows if we really have had enough. He knows you have more than just a broken heart. Here's my point that I'm trying to make with that. I can look at somebody and say, gosh, that person looks really broken. But God knows that person's still playing a game. God knows when that person really has had enough. Do you understand? He oppressed Israel for 20 years. I mean, he brought oppression, oppression second to none for 20 years. He knew what it was going to take to finally break Israel. Do you understand that he knows what it's finally going to take to break somebody? I can't look at any of your hearts and tell you, oh, yeah, you're ready. That's what man's doing. Man is telling you you're ready, and you are not. God will tell you when you're ready. You will know. Salvation is free. It's open at any time. You can get saved at any second, any time. But let me tell you something. Don't let some man come up to you and tell you, you're ready. Let the Holy Ghost tell you when you need to get saved. You know why? Because you'll get saved one time and it'll be forever. For eternity. 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 October 11th, 2010, I got saved for eternity. Over. It's done. In an instant. It was just over with. My name is now written in glory with your brother Dick. I know you might not, I don't know how you feel, but we're going to spend eternity together. I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. It happened one time and it wasn't by a man what he told me. Because man always tried to convince me that I was saved and I was lost. And I knew I was lost. God knows. He has his time. He knows what it's going to take. He knows that it takes more than just a broken heart. It takes a broken spirit, a broken and contrary heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You understand that last verse? He won't despise your broken spirit. He won't despise your broken and contrary heart. He will not despise it. He will not turn you away from that. When he gets you to that point, he's going to say, all right, now you do a little more. No, it's over. It's over. He says, you won't despise it. It's over. He accepts it. It's done. But he has to get you to that point. But you know what people want to do? Just like I did for 4 years, I fought it tooth and nail. I didn't want to see what was really boiling up inside me. But let me tell you something. When he showed me, it was, oh. I wouldn't even, my wife doesn't even know the stuff God showed me about myself. And it was all T-R-U-E, exclamation point, period. It was all true. All true. And I couldn't believe it. But he had to get in there. He had to get in there and stir that stuff up and show me. And when he did, oh God, thou wilt not despise. He did not despise me. And I thank God for it. How does God do that? It says here that he has to create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. He has to create something in us that we were not born with, and that is a new heart. It says that he has to create it. Why would it say he has to create it? Because you want to, that you have inside of you is wicked. More wicked than even the devil himself. So he has to give us something new. It says what? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creature. He's created you. You're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. So what else does he have to do? He's got to create that new heart. Because the one you have is more wicked than the devil himself. Let me finish with my little thing. He has to give us something that we were not born with. He has to create in us a new heart. One that we did not have until salvation. And now he can begin to do the works to create in us a clean heart. He doesn't create in us a right spirit. That will come with a new heart. You notice it didn't say create me a new spirit. It's create me a right spirit. So right now, when you have a bad heart, your spirit's doing the wrong things as well. So but let me tell you something. When he creates that new heart in you, when you start getting that new heart, your spirit changes. It becomes a right spirit. You start understanding and seeing things. You understand, whoa, there's steps to this thing. And it all happens at salvation. It just happens. Boom. Huh? Yeah. Pastor Randall says there's 40 things that happen instantly in salvation. And I'll tell you, if you just read the Bible, you can see a lot of them. There's one of them. This time, you have to have a new heart. Why? Because your desires of your heart are disgusting. They're nasty. Well, how does he get rid of it? Create a new heart. Well, how does he do that? Right here. Whether also a young man cleanses his way by taking heed thereunto according to the word. Psalm 119:9. That's going to create a clean heart. It's going to give you something new. I'm just telling you, God knows what he's talking about. He's the one who created us. He knows us inside and out. As God wanted Israel to be willing to offer themselves to him, this applies to us today. We see that in Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable will of God. Christianity today has taken out what God calls us to, holiness. holiness. 1 Peter 1:16. To live separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. To be willing and a living sacrifice. 12:1. And to do His will. 13:21-22. Christians today are living under the oppression from God because now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rivalings, and such, of the which I tell you before, and I've also told you in times past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm just telling you now, we're under the oppression of God because Christians have taken out the things that every normal Christian is called to. I was called to an office to be a preacher. I don't care if anybody agrees with it or not. God keeps me where I need to be. He keeps me in my Sunday school class. He keeps me preaching here or wherever else. And He keeps the website going. If God, listen to me, if God did not want me in these positions, then why am I still here? Isn't He all powerful? Can He not remove me? Then why hasn't He? Tell me. Here's the thing. Christianity today has taken out what God calls us to. This is for every Christian who's saved. Every single Christian who claims Christianity, who claims Jesus Christ. This is what you're called to. Holiness. Separate. To live a living sacrifice for Him and to do His will. That's not just for a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or Sunday school teacher. That's for every single Christian that's alive today. And to listen and do what His Word says. Listen to and do what His Word. What? Let me ask you. I just want to make this clear. I just want to ask this question because I just want to. If you really believe in God and you call yourself a saved, born again person, then tell me the one reason why you think God gave us this, or don't you think that God gave us this, or do you think that you're okay on your own? Do you think that it's going to... You're okay, God just saved you so that you could ignore His Word and ignore what it says and not have anything to do with it. Here's how sweet, here's how awesome our God is. Not only does He save us when we don't deserve it, but He gives us an instruction manual to go with it. That's something. Always ask for an instruction manual. Always need to know something. Well, God gave us one. Why are we not using it? He's called us to use it. As a born again person, you were called to read this. Study to show thyself proven unto who, man? I don't read my Bible or study to prove anything to any of you sitting in this room. I love you, my friends. But it says study to show thyself proven unto God. Why would He tell us to study the Word? Go and read Psalm 119. The whole entire Psalm. And look how many times the Bible, the Word, and all that is used in there. And how important it is to change somebody's life. Go read it. I don't know how many verses are in the Bible about how important this Word. Listen, go read the very end of Revelation and tell me what He says about His Word. That's how important it is that He's willing to put the curses on you if you change something. That's how important this Word is. Do you think people can get that? They have time for everything else in their day, but they can't go read a verse or pray to God. But yet, Lord, I need You to avenge me, really. He's not going to step in and avenge you. I promise you He won't. Here's where we should be, and I'm going to close with this. God has oppression on us until we repent from our ways and turn to His. These things by so-called saved people should be taken seriously and are not. Therefore, our lives and our prayers are not taken serious by God. Proverbs 1:23-21 says, "This very thing turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused." That is the very calling of God. He has called you and you have refused. Refused to what? Live holy. Live separate. Get into His Word. You're refusing everything that He tells you you should be doing. Refusing it. "Because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof." Listen to what He's going to do. He says, "I will laugh. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish come upon you, then you shall call upon me." But guess what He says? "But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me." Why? for that they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way. They shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. It's time for us to become willing, as it says in Judges 5:2, be willing to offer ourselves unto Him. It doesn't say He's going to force you into it. He wants you to be willing. People can't even get to that point in the city. They can't get to the point where they just say, Lord, I'm willing. You know what? He's going to keep America. He's going to keep Christians underneath His oppression until you come to that breaking point. And He's not going to move until then. So don't sit there and say, Lord, I need You to avenge me in this. I need You to do this for me. I need You to do that for me. Because I'm telling you right now, until you turn from your wicked ways, He's going to sit there and He's going to laugh at your calamity. That destruction is going to come as a whirlwind. And He's going to look back and see, I turned you over to yourself. Remember, this is where you wanted to be. This is where you wanted to be, so don't ask me to avenge you when you wanted to be there. It was your choice. You want God to avenge you, then become willing to turn yourself over to Him. Become His. Do what He says. Get in that Word. Study it. Live it. Breathe it. Don't just know it. There's a difference between knowing and living the Bible. James makes that clear. He says, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. Why? Because you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You're making yourself a fool. With Christianity, with salvation, God gave us an instruction manual to help us get through this. Because why? Because He knows that we're humans, we're in the flesh, and we need this. You can't do it on your own, so stop trying. Stop trying. And I'm done.